sentence of just under 3 months. In Jakarta, Chief Justice Soeharto stated that the court had ordered the local election commission to hold a revote for Pasaman's leadership positions.
Dengan demikian dalam rangka memastikan dan menjamin legitimasi hasil pemilihan umum bupati dan wakil bupati tahun 2024 yang berkeadilan.
To ensure a fair, democratic and legitimate election for Pasaman's region and deputy region in 2024, the court has disqualified Anggit Kurniawan Nasution from the race and ordered a revote without him as a candidate.
Mengikutsertakan Anggit Kurniawan Nasution sebagai calon wakil bupati Kabupaten Pasaman tahun 2024.
Under Indonesian law, former convicts who were sentenced to less than 5 years in prison can still run for office, as long as they openly disclose their past. In addition to Pasaman, the court also ordered re-elections in Mahakam Ulu in East Kalimantan and Bovendigul in South Papua. Ramasikri Pratama reported for Voice of Indonesia.
In recent years, Islamic finance in Indonesia has shown significant growth potential and reflecting the country's efforts to become global hub for Islamic business and finance. And here is the detail.
Head of Supervision for Financial Service Business Conduct Education and Customer Protection at Indonesia Financial Service Authority, Frederica Widyasari Dewi, highlighted on Sunday that Islamic finance in Indonesia is experiencing substantial growth across various sectors, including Islamic fashion, halal food, and Islamic tourism. This is in line with Indonesia's broader vision of positioning itself as the leading global center for Islamic business and finance.
Dari sektor perbankan,
in the banking sector, Islamic banking intermediation has seen positive growth, with financing increasing by 9.9%, reaching 653 trillion rupiah. The market capitalization of Islamic stocks is also on the rise, reflecting a promising trend that we must continue to support.
Additionally, the Islamic capital market has expanded with both the market capitalization of Islamic stock and the number of Islamic investors steadily growing. Frederica asks industry players to develop products that are not only easy to understand but also meet the evolving needs of the people.
You're listening to Highlight of the Week by the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs encourage people not only in the country but also the globe to understand online scam crime mode before deciding to work overseas. Andy Romdoni has the detail.
Director for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, invited the public to acknowledge the online scam crime mode that targets not only Indonesian citizens but also those of other countries around the world. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service in Jakarta on Tuesday, Yuda Nugraha explained that online scam crime has a different mode from traditional trafficking in person crime.
When we are dealing with the so-called traditional trafficking in person cases, we are dealing with a victim profile, mostly women, mostly they are uneducated, coming from poor family, they are jobless, and then they're coming from remote area. But when we are dealing with victim of online scam, we are dealing with completely a different victim profile. Yeah, we have recorded the victim of online scam operation. They are coming from Gen Z, age between 18 to 35 years old, and then they are educated. Even handle cases of victim, he has a master degree. And then they are coming from middle class family. And they are not jobless. Some of them, they have a good work actually in Indonesia, but they are being lured by unscrupulous job opportunities overseas, and then they are being trapped then in some country like Miawadi.
Yuda Nugraha explained a number of efforts can be made so that people can avoid online scam crimes, starting from following procedures according to existing law, to checking the validity of job providers and existing work contracts.
So we have to understand about the modus of this online job recruitment. What we would like to highlight, but this is very important to understand about the models, and then make sure that if you want to to work overseas, we do follow proper procedure as stipulated under the law of 18, year 2017, pertaining to the protection of Indonesian migrant workers, and make sure you can check the credibility of the job opportunities, and then make sure you have a valid working visa, and then have signed proper employment contract. And don't go if you don't bring those documents with you.
On Thursday, 46 Indonesian citizens who managed to leave the Miawadi area, Myanmar, arrived in Indonesia. They are suspected of being victims of human trafficking and have undergone the National Referral Mechanism, NRM, verification process by the Thai government since January 2025. The repatriation process is a collaboration between the Indonesian government, Thailand, authorities in Myanmar, and the Indonesian military and Indonesian police. Andi Ramdoni reporting.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has emphasized the importance of building giant seawall to protect the northern coast of Java from coastal erosion and rising sea levels. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has announced the target for the construction of the giant seawall, which is expected to stretch from Banten province to Gresik, East Java. He made this statement while attending the closing ceremony of the 6th Democratic Party Congress in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said that the giant seawall project was crucial to securing Indonesia's northern Java coastline.
And one of the most important infrastructures is the giant seawall. The giant seawall will secure the northern coast of Java. It has to stretch from Banten to Gresik hundreds of kilometers. We have to build it.
President Prabowo expressed confidence that the project could begin soon, although he could not say how long it would take to complete. He also confirmed that the necessary funding was already in place and that the government was ready to implement the project.
The Indonesian Football Association has appointed Jordi Cruyff as a technical advisor to Indonesian national football team. Further detail by Dora Pardiri.
The Indonesian national football team needs individuals who can help build the big Indonesian football programs. This was conveyed by the chairman of the Indonesian Football Association, Erick Thohir, in a press conference in Jakarta Tuesday. Erick Thohir revealed that the national team needs a figure from the technical side who can be an important part of building coaching methodologies, reviewing coach performance, discussing with national team coaches, and also optimizing players from amateur to professional levels. Erick announced that the figure is filled by Jordi Cruyff as a technical advisor.
At this time, I can only announce a figure who seems to be able to upgrade from what I said earlier, namely the technical advisor for our national team, Jordi Cruyff, who last served as sporting director at FC Barcelona in 2023.
Erick Thohir further explained that some time ago there was a meeting between Jordi Cruyff and Patrick Kluivert as the national team coach. Erick Thohir said that Jordi Cruyff will arrive in Jakarta in early March 2025. Arriving in Jakarta, Jordi Cruyff will immediately meet with the executive committee of the Indonesian Football Association and the National Team Agency. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listener, that's highlight of the week. Thank you.
enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. Pristine beaches and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baipar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits, ready to weave its magic. And may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Utilizing the flow of the Opak River and the rocks on the edge of the river, this tourist spot is very popular. The place is named Watu Kapau Tourism Park. Watu means rock and Kapau means boat or ship. It is so named because among the rocks there is one which is shaped like a boat. At Watu Kapau Tourism Park, visitors can do fun activities such as river tubing and cliff jumping from a height. To do this, of course, you must be able to swim and have guts. The distinctive red shades, greenish, clear, and clean river water with natural plants on the cliff make the color combination very fitting and very beautiful. Besides that, the air is very cool. The shady trees become one unit of refreshing natural scenery. It feels incomplete if we visit this place without capturing the beautiful times there. Many promising photo spots that can be used for group photos and selfies. The location of the Watu Kapau Tourism Spot is in Klenggotan Hamlet, Sremulyo Village, Piyungan District, Bantul Regency. It is approximately 13 kilometers from the center of Jogja City, towards Wonosari, and takes about 25 minutes to travel. Because this place is still relatively a new tourist spot, the manager has not yet charged visitors for entrance tickets. So, if you are in Yogyakarta, take the time to visit Watu Kapau Tourism Park that offers cliffs, natural, distinctive architecture made directly by nature and for humans to enjoy. Therefore, when visiting this place, make sure to keep the environment clean and not littering.
Thank you.
service of Radio Republic Indonesia broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and by streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. our recent talk about Indonesian citizen repatriation from Myanmar on February 24, 2025. We are talking about Indonesian citizens being brought back after allegedly involved in human trafficking and persons in Myawadi, Myanmar, and how the country protects its citizens.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. So, listener, 46 Indonesian citizens recently repatriated from Myanmar. Some of them are allegedly victims of human trafficking related to online gambling and also online scam. So how is the ongoing process for these 46 Indonesian citizens, and how does Indonesia protect her citizens from such trafficking? Here is in the VOI talk with Indonesian Citizen Protection Director of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Yuda Nugraha. So, Pak Yuda, I would like to know, so it is said that not all of the 46 people are the victims. I would like to know, how is the evaluation process so far that the ministry has known?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I can confirm that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has facilitated the repatriation of 46 Indonesian citizens from Myawadi, Myanmar. They are now has arrived safely in Indonesia, and Ministry of Foreign Affairs has handed over them to Ministry of Social Welfare for further process, including rehabilitation and reintegration process.
Okay, but the ministry is still monitoring them, or really full handover to the other ministry?
Yes, we have full handover them to Ministry of Social Welfare. Now they are in the process of further investigation and to know the process, and to identify them whether or not they are victim of human trafficking. Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Social Welfare is working closely with national police.
Okay, and you also said that some thousands of Indonesians are still out there being held captive for such cases, and recently I also got the news that the ministry plans to bring back home 270 others. So how is the plan so far by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs?
Yeah, I have to admit that we don't have the exact number how many Indonesians living in Myawadi area, because all of them are going into Myawadi through illegal channel, and they are not reported themselves to our embassy in Yangon. But until today, we have received report from 270 Indonesian nationals living in Myawadi, and they asked us to help them to repatriate to Indonesia. So we are working closely with related institution in Myanmar as well as in Thailand to help them crossing the border from Myawadi to Thailand, and then we will facilitate their repatriation to Indonesia.
And sir, related to this case, we also know that some cases from China, it was so viral about some celebrities, local celebrities in China also get into similar cases. I would like to know that what is the main MO for this trafficking that the ministry has detected?
We have recorded firstly this case back in 2020. At that time, we received only 15 reports of online scam, especially in Cambodia. But now, until February this year, we have recorded more than 6,800 online scam cases across 10 countries, including Myanmar. But I have to say that handling these cases in Myanmar is the most complicated one, because we are already aware that Myawadi area is a conflict zone. There are armed groups operating in Myawadi and control the area. So we have to deal with it carefully to make sure that all Indonesian nationals safely going back to Indonesia from that area.
Okay. And also about the 10 countries, could you please mention which countries?
Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, Philippines, United Arab Emirates, South Africa, and last, Belarus.
Okay, so they are spread not only in ASEAN, but also some other countries. But related to ASEAN, has this been a concern about ASEAN countries? And if it has been a concern, how is the current cooperation to handle this case?
Yes, that's very true. Through our diplomacy, we would like to raise awareness. This is not only a problem for Indonesia, but of course a problem for other countries, not only in our region, but also at global level. Up until now, we have received information that country of origin for the victim of online scam operation is coming from 59 countries. So this is a global problem, and we need a global response. So in this case, we do intensive diplomacy, be it at bilateral level or regional level, including multilateral level. At bilateral level, we have intensive communication with Myanmar, Thailand, Cambodia, and other countries. At regional level, we have ASEAN cooperation. During Indonesia chairmanship in ASEAN, we have successfully agreed ASEAN leaders' declaration on combating trafficking in person caused by the abuse technology. So this is one of the critical point of cooperation within ASEAN, and we look forward to implement those commitments.
Okay, and this cooperation, of course, is not only about bringing them back home, but I hope that it is also about preventing. So if there has been some prevention measures, I would like to know how many of our citizens have been safe before they are going into the same case of trafficking.
Yeah. We do understand that this is a cross-border criminality, and this is a complex issue. We need a close cooperation and collaboration from all stakeholders, be it domestically in Indonesia or regional. So in Indonesia, we propose 4P strategies. The first P is protection of victims. We have to make sure that government of Indonesia give a quick response of every report we receive from our national offices, including in Miyawadi area. Second P is prosecution. We will make sure that the perpetrators will be brought to justice. And I have to highlight here that not all online scam cases can be identified as victim of human trafficking. Some of them are active perpetrators. Some of them are active recruiters. And we will make sure that we will bring them to justice. And third P is prevention. This is the most important thing. We need close cooperation from all stakeholders, not only governments. We are talking about private sector. We are talking about academics, media. We are talking about civil society. The main challenge is how to raise awareness about the danger of this online scam operation. We recorded that out of 6,800 victims of online scam that have been repatriated to Indonesia, we record some of them going back offices and working in the same sector. So this is our big concern. So this is the importance of raising awareness among Indonesian that yes, it's our right to work overseas, but we have to make sure that we do a safe migration when doing that right.
Okay, so make sure to do some safe migration. And once again, to put emphasis on this, to make everyone, not only Indonesians, but everybody listening to this dialogue, also realize about this case. We know that the victim is not only people from low income class. From China, they are celebrities wanting to get some contracts in another country but get into this scam. So it means it can target anyone. And what is the tips from the ministry, the most practical one, to make sure one doesn't fall victim into this case?
That's an interesting question, Pak Steve. That we have to understand that this online scam operation is completely different with, I call it, traditional trafficking in person cases. When we are dealing with the so-called traditional trafficking in person cases, we are dealing with a victim profile, mostly women, mostly they are uneducated, coming from poor family, they are jobless, and then they're coming from remote area. But when we are dealing with victim of online scam, we are dealing with completely a different victim profile. We have recorded the victim of online scam operation. They are coming from Gen Z, age between 18 to 35 years old, and then they are educated. Even we handle cases of victim, he has a master degree. And then they are coming from middle class family. And they are not jobless. Some of them, they have a good work actually in Indonesia, but they are being lured by unscrupulous job opportunities, offices, and then they are being trapped then in some country like Niawadi. So we have to understand about the modus of this online job recruitment. What we would like to highlight, about this is very important to understand about the modus, and then make sure that if we want to work overseas, we do follow a proper procedure, as stipulated under the law of 18, year 2017, pertaining to the protection of Indonesian migrant workers, and make sure you can check the credibility of the job opportunities, and then make sure you have a valid working visa, and then have signed proper employment contract. And don't go if you don't bring those documents with you.
Okay, thank you very much, Pak Yuda Nugraha, for joining us, and I wish that the Minister of Foreign Affairs, which has a lot of work to do, will have the strength and also will have fine smoothness in their job in saving Indonesian citizens. Thank you very much, Pak Yuda.
Thank you, Pak.
Okay, listener, that is our VOA talk with Bapak Yuda Nugraha, Indonesian Citizen Protection Director of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and you can listen again to this dialogue on our YouTube channel, VOA Official, and also the application RRE Digital.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
is Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlist, podcast, video news, and various user interaction features in the game. Various interesting content
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. Please leave some comments and questions to voilisteners@gmail.com, our application RRI Digital, and our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI_official. You can also listen to other talks at VOI on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. We are still broadcasting on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW 3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.boinus.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia.
From Indonesia to the world.
Dari Jakarta, inilah Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia. Selamat bergabung di program siaran berbahasa Indonesia. Saya Agus Santika akan menemani Anda dengan informasi terkini, musik yang asik, dan obrolan yang seru pastinya. Kita awali kebersamaan kita hari ini dengan menyimak terlebih dahulu warta berita bersama rekan saya, Sumarno.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Presiden Prabowo resmikan layanan bank emas pertama Indonesia. Momentum kebangkitan produksi emas dalam negeri. Bersama saya Sumarno, inilah warta berita selengkapnya. Presiden Prabowo Subianto meresmikan layanan bank emas atau Balayan Bank pertama dalam sejarah Indonesia. Bank emas ini dikelola oleh PT Pegadaian atau Persero dan Bank Syariah Indonesia. Dalam peresmian layanan bank emas di Jakarta, Presiden Prabowo mengatakan keberadaan bank emas ini akan mendorong pertumbuhan ekonomi nasional. Salah satunya meningkatkan produk domestik bruto atau PDB sebesar Rp245 triliun dan membuka 1,8 juta lapangan pekerjaan untuk masyarakat.
Kita harapkan bahwa ini akan meningkatkan produksi domestik bruto kita, kalau tidak salah bisa menambah 245 triliun, kemudian akan membuka lapangan kerja 1,8 juta baru.
Presiden Prabowo mengungkapkan pengelolaan emas dari hulu ke hilir akan lebih optimal dilakukan di dalam negeri. Selain itu, menurut Presiden, layanan bank emas juga akan menghemat devisa negara dan dapat menjadi instrumen pengendalian stabilitas moneter melalui likuiditas emas. Berita selanjutnya, Kementerian Luar Negeri Republik Indonesia bersama Majelis Ulama Indonesia atau MUI dan Badan Amil Zakat Nasional atau Basnas menginisiasi peluncuran kampanye penggalangan bantuan kemanusiaan untuk Palestina dengan target $200 juta Amerika Serikat atau sekitar Rp3,27 triliun. Dalam acara peluncuran kampanye bersama penggalangan bantuan kemanusiaan bagi Gaza Indonesia untuk Palestina yang digelar di Jakarta, Wakil Menteri Luar Negeri Anies Mata menyampaikan dana tersebut nantinya akan digunakan untuk bantuan kemanusiaan dan juga rekonstruksi di Gaza.
Pada siang hari ini untuk memulai satu gerakan solidaritas untuk Palestina, dan ini adalah hasil dialog kita dalam 3 bulan terakhir ini bersama semua NGO yang hadir di sini untuk memulai satu gerakan solidaritas tapi yang terkoordinir secara lebih baik supaya kita bisa menyalurkan bantuan ke Palestina.
Wakil Menteri Luar Negeri Anies Mata menjelaskan salah satu peran Kementerian Luar Negeri adalah mendukung dan memfasilitasi gerakan yang ia sebut sebagai diplomasi kemanusiaan. Selain itu, ia menegaskan Kemlu akan memanfaatkan berbagai jalur diplomasi untuk memastikan bantuan dapat tersalurkan ke Gaza yang hingga kini masih berada dalam blokade Israel. Berita terakhir, peluncuran Badan Pengelola Investasi Daya Anagata Nusantara BPI Danantara dan bank emas pertama di Indonesia oleh Presiden Prabowo Subianto pada Februari ini menjadi momentum penting dalam upaya mengoptimalkan produksi emas dalam negeri. Demikian diungkapkan anggota Komisi 6 DPR RI, Kawendra Lukistian, menyoroti potensi besar Indonesia sebagai negara dengan cadangan emas terbesar ke-6 di dunia. Namun hasil produksi emas batangan yang masih rendah, yaitu sekitar 78 ton dan berada di urutan 100 besar dunia. Pak Wendra menyebut produksi emas batangan dan optimalisasi emas batangan Indonesia belum optimal.